Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Jerry O'Lennon, along with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. We have her on every Wednesday. We love having her here. And let's say good morning. Good morning, Gidi. How are you?
Good morning. I am very well, and I'm feeling very grateful.
Well, that I'm glad you are, because that has been the topic of our conversation for the last few weeks, about gratitude, how we express gratitude, but sometimes we don't always show gratitude, and it's important to do both. And so let's kind of just recap where we were at
from
the beginning.
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm getting a lot of my information from the Positive Psychology Program website. And they define gratitude as, quote, the quality of being thankful. So that's the first thing we need to have is the quality of being thankful. Secondly, it's the readiness to show appreciation for. So we're thankful and we're ready to express it and to return kindness. So the third part is we do something reciprocal that shows that we are grateful.
It's easy to thank somebody. I mean, it's just two words. Thank you. We sure appreciate it. It means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And that's not that hard to do.
Not at all.
Everybody can do that. But I mean, showing the gratitude is different than just expressing it.
Well, expressing it is one step along the way.
Yeah.
And showing it. And then clinical studies have shown, and I'm talking about, you know, non-biased, real, true research studies, have shown that acts of gratitude improve the quality of life. That then the benefits are global. They're physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual.
An ideal world, Gidi, wouldn't it be that it just happens naturally, where you say, you know, if you're a really good person, I suppose, and putting it very simply put, that you just automatically do something to show your gratitude. It should just come naturally. But for a lot of us, it has to be. It has to be well thought out. It has to be worked out. In other words, somebody does you something, I got to say, you know what? I really have to show my gratitude here instead of just having it happen naturally. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, is there?
Not necessarily. I mean, sometimes when we need to change a habit, it feels forced.
Mm-hmm.
It feels artificial because we're changing the way we normally respond.
Right.
But we can do that until it becomes natural. You know, in the recovery circles, you know, people who are recovering from addictions, they say, fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. In other words, act as if you are the person you want to be, and by, you will become the person you want to be.
Okay.
So we've been looking at a lot of quotations from different people and discussing them, and I've had a lot of fun doing that. Mm-hmm. And this morning I have a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he says, in ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich.
I agree with that. We do receive more than we give.
Definitely.
You
know, what struck me about this quote was Americans are world famous for their love of money and their love of more, 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 you know, the more mentality. As I was driving to the studio this morning, I was thinking about even in church circles that I've been in, you know, I've heard people praying, more, Lord, more, give us more, you know. And I wondered, wow, I wonder if in the persecuted church or in churches in other nations, they have this mindset that whatever God gives us, we need more of. And I got to thinking what true riches are. And Paul has a quote, I think, in Philippians that says that contentment is the true riches. In other words, being satisfied with what you have. How do you get to contentment? And I believe one fast way of getting there is just by being grateful.
You know, I think when we think of riches, we think about gratitude for the things that we receive. We normally think about the money aspect of it, or
yes,
the goods, but we take for granted, you know, our health, our safety, you know, the environment we live in, health in particular.
Yes.
You know, it usually takes, and you know, it's going to happen to all of us, where there's going to be an illness. You know, one of my favorite quotes is from, I think I've said this before, from Rodney Dangerfield, a comedian, who would say the very best thing that's going to happen to you in your life, the best thing that you can hope for,
yeah,
is that you're going to get very old, very sick, and die. That's the best thing that can happen for you. You know, you're going to get old, you're going to get sick, and you're going to die. So we all have that to look forward to. And that's the best case scenario. And so we take advantage of all these healthy days that we have. Not take advantage of, we don't appreciate all these healthy days that we have until that time comes when we no longer have a healthy day.
And wouldn't it be wonderful to appreciate them now?
Yes, yes.
And really enjoy them.
And I think as we get older, don't we kind of appreciate those more often?
I hope so.
I know I do.
Yeah.
I know I do.
Yeah. Gratitude really does enrich us. It makes a little feel like a lot.
Right.
And I know in my own life, when I'm dissatisfied, it's oftentimes I am not expressing gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're going to come to some of the words of the saints in some show down the road. I'm not sure when we're going to get there, where they even talk about, you know, the true maturity, the true Christian maturity is thanking God for everything.
Right.
Not just the things we like, but to understand that God uses it all. Yeah. God uses it all. It's just amazing. And you think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you think of his life, you think of how he died, how he lived and how he died. And I wonder if...
Well, tell me more about Dietrich. Tell me more about him.
Well, as you remember,
he
was a Lutheran pastor.
We got a commercial break, but we'll continue that.
Okay.
That sparks my interest because he's a Lutheran pastor and I'm Lutheran, and so
okay.
I want to hear more about
him. All right.
We're talking about gratitude with Edie Hansen of The Growing Place. We'll be right back and continue our chat with Edie about gratitude right after this break.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up when it's all over.
All right, welcome back to the show. Glad you could be with us. Edie Hansen is a licensed marriage and family therapist over at The Growing Place. And if you ever want to get in touch with her, go to tgplace.org, tgplace.org. You can also call her at 588-0448, 588-0448. We went into the break talking about somebody who I'd never heard of, but I should know. He's a Lutheran pastor, and I'm Lutheran. I take great pride in being a Lutheran, by the way. We Lutherans like to call ourselves Reformed Catholics. You know, that wasn't our goal, was to branch off into a different church. And in fact, Martin Luther hated the term Lutheran. He hated it. He just wanted to reform the Catholic Church. But anyway, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "In Ordinary Life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich." You know, I think when you hear the quote, it makes me realize that's absolutely true. But
yes.
You don't normally think about it. You just kind of just take it for granted.
Absolutely.
But when we hear the quote, in ordinary life, we realize that we receive more than we give. And I think if we really thought about that, we would have to acknowledge that that's true. I think all of us would.
Yes, definitely.
Tell me about Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
I can tell you just in a nutshell, he was a pastor in the 20th century, mid-20th. He died in a Nazi prison camp. He was imprisoned for being part of a plot to assassinate Hitler. And he was caught. He had come to America. He was very ecumenical. And while he was in the prison camp, there was a young Jewish girl who was very frightened to die. Mm. And the way I've heard it now, I know there's going to be people out there who have the facts, you know, more clearly than I do, but the way I heard it was shortly before the World War II ended, the number for the girl came up to go into the ovens.
Oh, God.
And he stepped forward and he said, "I'll go in her place. You want someone to die. What difference does it make to you, the number, whether it's her or whether it's me?"
Wow.
And he died. He died for her. And it was his witness of the love of Christ. And then a week or I don't know how long, very shortly after that, the war was over.
Oh, my.
So I'm wondering if before he went to his death, he was feeling grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to lay down his life for someone, grateful for the life he'd been given. So that kind of gives his words a lot of weight in my heart.
That kind of courage is beyond, I mean, when we as a Christian, I think we all think, could we do that if we were put in that situation? And I can't say that I could. I mean, I think
it's a grace from God. And I think that at the moment, you will know. If God gives you the grace, you will know that's what you're supposed to do.
Wow. So let's talk more about his quote. And he wrote this, obviously, well before he was in the Nazi concentration camp.
Yeah, probably. He'd written a lot of books, and, you know, he had a lot of sermons, and just a beautiful, wonderful man. You can look him up online.
I'm going to do that, yes.
Yeah. And then we have another quote by John E. Southard, and I have been looking all over the internet to find out who this gentleman is. And the only thing I come up with is his quote. So I'm not sure who he is, if he's still alive or not. But he says, "The only people with whom you should try to get even are those who have helped you."
Yeah.
The only people with whom you should try to get even are those who have helped you. And that also, I believe, is a form of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because that getting even part is the reciprocity.
It made me initially think the receiving end of somebody, when you do something good for somebody, and then somebody wants to show you gratitude, we need to look at it from that perspective too, because sometimes when somebody, you do something for somebody and they show you gratitude, I don't know, how do you respond to it, Gidi?
God really convicted me on that. I used to discount gratitude when people would say it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was nothing, or you know.
Right.
And then the Lord showed me that's pride.
Okay.
That's just pride disguising itself as humility.
As modesty, false modesty.
False modesty.
Yeah.
And he just said, when people say thank you, you should say you're welcome, or my pleasure, or whatever, and acknowledge it, and not fight it.
Right.
And so I changed my policy after that.
Right. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some ways we can, quote unquote, get even with those who have helped us?
Yeah.
There's that sparks a lot of creativity. How do you get even? Let's say the person who helped you is no longer in this life. How are we going to get even with that person?
Well, I think what a lot of people do is they do memorials in their name, or they but you know, I've always had a difficult time with that. Maybe it's because of my Lutheran roots, which we talked about, which differs greatly from Roman Catholicism, where we believe that everybody is a saint, that you don't have to die to be a saint, that the saints on earth that we are every bit as valuable that's my faith believes. And we don't believe it's right to have prayers for certain saints or pray to Mary or these kinds of things. So we view that kind of differently when you're talking about somebody who's already passed on, and I'm not sure how we're supposed to honor them. I think it's different for different people. This is interesting. You could do a whole hour just on this.
Yes.
How are we supposed to treat those who passed on? Is it proper for us to memorialize them? Or as Jesus said, and maybe I'm misrepresenting what he's saying, but he said, "Let the dead bury their own. Come follow me." And when I talk to my children, I say, I'm going to take a break right now. I tell my children, when I pass on, you know, don't sit there and honor me. You go honor God and follow your way, and don't worry about me. I'm in a better place. We'll take a break, continue our discussion about gratitude, and actually, how do we show gratitude? That's actually really interesting. How do we show gratitude to those who have passed away? And should we really show them gratitude? Is that really proper to do? We'll continue our discussion after this chat.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. Gidi Hansen is a licensed and marriage family counselor over at The Growing Place. If you want to set up an appointment with her, one of their other counselors or life coaches, you can give them a call at 588-0448 or go to tgplace.org. We went into the break, got into an interesting discussion about how we show gratitude. That's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. And Gidi brought up the idea that how do we show gratitude to those who've passed on? And it's my belief that you can't really thank them because, you know, they're gone. You know, you can't, it's just, you know, and they're not around. So how do you,
Well, you know, without getting theological about it.
It's okay, we can get theological.
No, well, I don't want to.
Okay.
Because people have different personal beliefs that have nothing to do with their salvation. And it's you know, really none of my business. But the way I look at it is you pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if somebody's parents give them $10,000 to help them get a down payment for a house, mm-hmm. and the parents have died and their own kids have grown up and it's time for them to have a house, and the parents are in a position to give their children $10,000 mm-hmm. just as a gift,
right,
so that they can have enough money for a down payment, in their hearts, they're honoring their own parents who helped them. Mm-hmm. But they're passing the blessing along to the next generation. So let's say a guy, when he was down and out, some stranger, you know, helped him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's very successful. Mm-hmm. So he has a tender place in his heart for people who are down and out. And maybe even in an anonymous way,
mm-hmm.
he figures out a way of helping people. And not because he wants any recognition for it, but just because he wants to pay it forward.
But kind of like maybe even building a tradition, a family tradition to do things a certain way. I know that when my mother, when she was alive, she said, I want no one at my funeral. She wanted no one. She wanted, you said, you can have your wives and your kids and that's it. I don't want anybody else here. I said, if you want to show me love and gratitude, do it while I'm alive. I don't, you know, it doesn't do me any good when I'm dead. And I actually, we respected her wishes when she passed on. There was just four of us. That was it. And the funeral lasted 10 minutes. She said, I don't believe in funerals. You go on and live your life and be happy. And I actually respected that wish and I understood it because when she told me that years and years and years ago, when she was still alive, very healthy, I took the opportunity saying, I'm going to show you gratitude now for what you've given me.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for us to show gratitude while people are alive.
Absolutely.
They've gone
and
on.
You know, for me, it's not either or. Either I'm going to show it while you're alive or while you're dead.
Right.
It's good to show it, I think, at all times.
Right.
To show people that we love them.
Right.
And that we appreciate them and that we've learned from them.
Right.
And when we are the recipients of a blessing, and then the Lord puts us in a situation where we can be a giver of the blessing, I think that's a way of showing gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Very good. Okay.
So maybe
there's more agreement than we realize.
Yeah. And then this is a quote from that world famous person, Anonymous. And Anonymous has said, gratitude turns what you have into abundance.
Sounds good. I'm not quite sure I understand.
Well, I have a beautiful example for you. Way, way, way back when Father Hansen was just Peter and we were living in Berkeley and we were vegetarians and it was Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. we were wondering, what do we eat for Thanksgiving? We decided we would have grilled cheese sandwiches on homemade bread and a salad. Now, salad is my favorite food, and as an Iranian, any Iranian can tell you, bread and cheese is a staple. So for me, it was a feast. And I did not know the Lord at the time. And my husband was, a prodigal at the time.
Uh-huh.
So we sat down to this beautiful meal, and I'm sure the Lord was there with us. He blessed it. He blessed us. My heart was overflowing with gratitude mm-hmm. for a grilled cheese sandwich on homemade bread and a beautiful green salad with homemade dressing. And in the middle of our meal, my mother-in-law calls and says, so, it's Thanksgiving. You know, what are you two having for dinner? And we told her, how happy we were. And it was absolutely genuine. So today, at times, I'll say to my husband, honey, could you make us a Thanksgiving dinner for dinner tonight? And he'll say, sure, you know. And we still sit down with the same joy and eat that food. So that's what I think is an example of gratitude turns what you have into abundance.
In a strange kind of way, it almost seems like when you show gratitude for the lesser things you have,
yes,
it has greater significance.
Absolutely.
It's easy to have gratitude when you go and have a big feast and a big meal and it's wonderful and you're like, wow, and you're very thankful. Look at all of these riches I've got, this wonderful food. It's a big feast and it's appetizers and desserts and entrees and wine and more of everything.
Yes.
It's easy to be grateful for that.
But it's also easy to get a stomach ache.
Yeah, put on some calories too. But it's much harder. It's much, in a strange kind of way, I mean, it's more meaningful to be grateful for the smaller things you have in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, I'm so grateful for this beautiful morning
that
we have. And, you know, for the peace we have. Mm-hmm. We're not living in a war-torn country. I tell you, Jerry, every time I walk into a grocery store, mm-hmm. I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a little one, a little store, doesn't matter about how many items. I just look around me and I go, look at this abundance.
But people who do live in those war-torn countries, how do they show gratitude?
Well, you know, I have heard testimonies of Christians in those countries, and it's exactly what you said. They are grateful for every little thing.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah. I wish we'll have more time next week.
Okay, thank you, Jerry.
Dee Dee Hansen, The Growing Place. Thank you for being with us. And if you want to give Dee Dee a call over at The Growing Place, if you want to make an appointment for you or a family member for any issues you may have, give her a call, 588-0448. And we'll continue our discussion about gratitude. It's next Wednesday with Dee Dee. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.